from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Okay, Ursula, your boy is in his feelings right now.
Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. So here's what's happening. So on our Facebook page, the G and Ursula Facebook page, I'm looking at the history of videos that we've posted. Now, we've posted this and we've posted some of that and all of those things. And this video got, you know, 2,000 views and 3,000 views. I'm seeing that. We posted, well, Chef did, he posted a video of yesterday of things that you did not like about the show. And he posted that segment. We've gotten more views in 1 hour on that than a lot of views on total of other. So it's like, huh, do you guys love to see the downfall of us? You love to see me uncomfortable in the video?
I just want to know. For those of you just joining, this is the G and Ursula Show.
I
was out yesterday. I had the flu for 4 days.
Yeah, you did. You were sick.
That was bad.
Yeah.
But in any case,
yeah,
I looked at the rundown as I'm trying to get caught up, getting ready for today.
Uh-huh.
And I see that you guys had one segment of listeners weigh in on everything that they dislike about the show.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, actually reached out to you.
And why did we do that?
What kind of crazy idea was that?
Because we had a news story, by the way, you'll like that. It was a news hook.
Good.
Okay, it was a news, and what it was about was would you send out a survey to your own friend group asking them about the best, your strengths and weaknesses, the best things about you and the things that annoy you and things that you don't like.
Oh.
And so Travis Mayfield said yes. I said no. I'm never going to send that out. But then I said, you know what? If there are people that can truly have an opinion about me, and I don't mean this sarcastically because my own family, my friends don't listen to me for 3 hours every single day. And for you, I apologize if you have to listen to me every day.
Stop
so anyway,
it.
But for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, I said I trust the opinion of our listeners more than my own family because they truly know me well. So instead of what you like good, I want you to tell us the things that you don't like and things that annoy you. Those are the rules. And people crushed me. Like they crushed me bad. But even though they crushed me, I'd say 95% of it was legit. Right? Like, I basically asked our listeners, hey, listeners, do I look fat in these jeans? And our listeners said, yes, you do, G.
So Chef told me, when you called me yesterday and you were telling me about this, and you and I were laughing hysterically, and
yes, we
you were.
Were
laughing.
Laughing.
Now, when I came in this morning, Chef told me the worst that was said was that you tell people to be kind at the end of the show, but then you... actually, sometimes on the text line, aren't so kind.
Be blessing, folks.
I just say, bless your heart.
He said that was the worst. I'm thinking, if that's the worst, we got off pretty well.
No, there was a lot of things. But again, the things that were coming through, it would be one thing if I would be like, that's not true. No. Our listeners really listen. And so the negative stuff they were giving me, I was like, yeah, you're kind of right. Like, gee, you say society too much. This whole yes or no. You say Ursula's name a million times a day. You get loud when you get excited. Sometimes you go into a topic and you don't care about other people's opinion, but your own. You're not wrong.
All right. Okay, we're going to try to change all that here in the 10 o'clock hour.
Okay,
how's
I'm going to be a new person. Let's get to what's new at 10, Ursula.
Well, let's start off with this story that really caught our attention because you drive a Tesla, and we're learning now that the driver of a Tesla that hit and killed a motorcycle rider in a crash last Friday now admits he was looking at his phone when his car lurched forward. This happened last Friday on eastbound State Route 522 at Fales Road. And according to court documents, the driver was heading home from lunch. He had his Tesla on autopilot when it hit the back of 28-year-old Jeffrey Neeson's motorcycle, pinning him underneath.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Neeson died at the scene, and that driver was arrested for vehicular homicide and distracted driving.
Mm-hmm.
So my first reaction, besides the fact that this is extremely sad, is this is why I will never trust so-called self-driving vehicles.
Yeah.
How does something like this happen?
Okay. First, let's be very clear on something. We all are not supposed to text and drive. Period. That includes even if you have auto drive on your vehicle and you have self-driving feature. Even then, you are not supposed to text and drive. Here's how it happened. I'll be very, honest with you guys. I, in the past, would put my vehicle on self-driving. And I would do that. And then at that time, I would text. I'm telling you, I'm admitting to you. But then there was an update on my vehicle, and I have cameras in my car. And so what would happen is, as soon as I would grab my phone, all of a sudden my car would start to beep and it'd be like, oh, basically letting me know I need to touch the steering wheel every time. And so when I would go to grab my phone, and I'm like, oh. Then I put two and two together that, you know what, I better just not text and drive, period, because if I do, it is all evidence. So I stopped. When I saw this story, Ursula, it broke my heart. Here's someone that was going back to work from, they were leaving from lunch, and they admitted to being distracted. And probably the reason why they admitted to being distracted is they probably have a camera in their car. It is very easy for it to happen that way.
Well, it's a reminder that,
yes,
it's autopilot, but you still need to be in control. Mm-hmm. I mean, you still need to be paying attention.
Yeah.
You cannot be looking at your phone.
I think
maybe that gives people a false sense of security.
Yeah. My heart goes out to the person who lost their life. My heart also goes out to the person in this situation, because I would bet that they did not want that to happen. They didn't think that their vehicle would let that happen. And I'm quite sure there is still a little bit of trust you have when your vehicle is self-driving.
So the federal government looked at 956 crashes involving Tesla cars where autopilot was alleged to have been in use. And then they focused specifically on 322 autopilot related accidents that included frontal collisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more prevalent than you might think.
Yeah. Again, there's a little bit of trust, because sometimes, Ursula, I'll sit there and coming in the morning or going home, I'll just hit it on auto drive and it's going, 65, 70 miles an hour. It makes left turns. It'll get off the freeway when it's time to get to my exit, and it does all those things. So there's a level of trust that you have to have. However, in this case right here, can it happen? Yes, but I would assume that this gentleman was thinking like, yo, it's on auto drive.
He doesn't deserve these charges at all.
I know.
Tesla should be responsible for these charges. Like,
wait. How does he not deserve charges?
Because, Ursula, he looked at his phone while his car that was sold to him as full auto driving slammed into another vehicle. And you can say, like Tesla says, oh, you have to be paying attention at all times. Let me ask you a question. When your car is on cruise control, do you keep your foot on the gas or the brake at all times?
I never even drive my car on cruise control.
Humans are not good at tasks that require passive monitoring. Tesla knows this. Everybody knows this. They are shifting blame.
Yeah, okay.
So since 2019, at least 17 people have been killed in crashes involving Teslas in autopilot mode.
And they're going to put that on all the drivers.
Now, hold on. While I'll say my heart goes out to the driver in this case, I'm not absolving him from all fault.
Like, when are you given the impression, just out of curiosity, because of what Chef just said,
yeah.
Are you under the impression that you can be doing anything
Does Tesla give you
that impression?
No, they don't. And that's what I want to talk about. They are very clear about that. You know better. as a Tesla owner, you know better than to. I admitted to you guys that I was grabbing my phone. I don't grab my phone anymore because I know better. I'm not supposed to. Even on self-driving, you're not supposed to. So that's clear. Are you supposed to go to sleep? No. Are you supposed to be looking away?
That's not.
No.
That's not what this is, though. I mean, think about the amount of time that it takes when a car slams on their brakes in front of you, and for you to be looking away and make a mistake. That takes like 0.2 seconds, right? I don't think this guy should be charged with vehicular homicide anyways in Washington State, because according to our laws, you have to be driving under the influence, you have to be driving recklessly, or with disregard for the safety of others. This is normal behavior.
Text messaging is the problem. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is very clear. You cannot, if you have a phone in your hand and you're texting and you get into an accident, you are liable. This is a, look, that's not comfortable. It's a very sneaky way, but it goes as a lesson to all of us. Even on self-driving, you can't text and drive. Is that not clear?
Yeah, I mean,
have we not talked about texting and driving?
I think that the family can go after Tesla as well, but I don't think that they're, I could argue they're, that the driver should not face any, I mean, maybe not vehicular homicide charges, but face some very serious charges because someone died.
But they all say you cannot text with the phone. You cannot be using your phone, even on self-driving. Tesla makes that clear.
Okay, let's move on to another story.
Okay,
because you are going to be hearing that students at high schools all across the Puget Sound area are going to be walking out of class today, hoping to end U.S. government continued aid to Israel. The Seattle Times reports walkouts are planned at schools in Seattle, Redmond, Bellevue, Issaquah, Olympia, and many more. And this is happening while all across the country, college students are holding pro-Palestinian protests and setting up tent encampments. Dozens of students were arrested at both Yale and Columbia universities. Columbia is now switching to remote learning for the remainder of the semester. And the president is weighing in. University presidents' jobs are on the line, and Jewish students are expressing concern for their safety.
Overnight campus chaos at Cal Poly Humboldt in Northern California, where police clashed with these pro-Palestinian protesters who barricaded themselves inside of a building. At Manhattan's NYU, at least a dozen were arrested and camps cleared as hundreds rallied. The demonstration spreading to campuses across the country after hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters, including Jewish students, have spent nearly a week occupying the quad at Columbia University, demanding the school divest from companies funding Israel.
We want to be visible. The university should do something about what we're asking, about the genocide that's happening in Gaza.
With tensions high and concern about safety increasing, classes were completely remote at Columbia on Monday.
Jewish students are petrified to go onto campus.
President Biden speaking on the campus protests.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
While movements have pitted students against one another, overnight at Columbia, peaceful protests, with some Jewish students joining the crowd.
Anti-Semitism is a huge problem in the United States, but anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are two very different things.
Still, the NYPD is taking precautions and has stepped up patrols outside of campus. Jared Hill, CBS News, New York.
So we will have one of our Cairo radio reporters covering some of these protests as they happen here locally.
Yeah. When I see, first of all, anti-Semitism is a problem, and it has been. There's been an increase in it. That's fact. That has happened. It's awful.
It's not okay.
I do think that sometimes that when some of these protests are happening, when these protests are like, hey, there's some that's like, hey, can we get a ceasefire? Hey, can we stop what is happening over there? People try to pin even those folks with being anti-Semitic, which I think that part's wrong. Ultimately, Ursula, the thing that is frustrating the most about everything surrounded with this And this is the reason why on this Gian Ursula show, we don't talk about it. And the reason why, it's not that we don't know that it's there. We just know that it is such a complex topic. Why? Because here's the truth. No matter if you go back to what Israel and when it came to what their conflict, the little small conflict with Iran and everything, no matter what, even if we didn't want Israel to respond in a certain way, even though we didn't want it going back and forth, Israel knows that no matter what they do and how they act, they know that the United States of America is on the hook to be big bro and make sure they're good. So there are things that are happening that are out of the control of a lot of us. And so I feel like this back and forth and all of these things, I get frustrated by this. And so now some people use it politically as these folks right here, they all are anti-Semitic. That's not true. But then some are anti-Semitic. And so we, you and I, will have to sit here and try to figure out which is which.
What I hope is that everyone who takes part in these protests has done their research, knows what it is listening. I mean, I think the only way that we get better is if we have an understanding of what is happening and aren't only listening to one side. But you're absolutely correct. It is extremely complex. Am I encouraged that people are getting involved? And you know, yes. Do I hope that they end up blocking traffic? No. So this could be very interesting this afternoon.
Hey, Ursula, you can't on one hand say that, oh, by the way, G, before October 7th of 2023, these conflicts were happening years and years before, and then expect the Gian Ursula show to come in and wade through this discussion, and this is how you should think, and here's our opinion, and it's... No, we can't. This has been going on before October 7th of 2023 so much, not just over there. It's so deep.
What we could do...
What's that?
...is bring on experts with different perspectives. Now, I don't know if that's what you want.
Not on this show. I don't think that... Right? Like, how does it... So if we bring on an expert on this side...
Yeah.
...an expert on... Like,
I know.
How does that win?
That's just it. What is happening is horrific. And I hope that there is some kind of resolution. That's all I know at this point.
It at least a ceasefire. At least that. Okay, Ursula, coming up next here on the G and Ursula show, what were you saying about coming up at 10:30?
Well, we're going to be doing a discussion about how camping and boating in Washington is about to get a lot more expensive.
Mm.
And then what do you think about more and more Americans putting their vacations on their credit cards?
Okay. All right. I'm curious what folks are going to say about this new outdoors costing more money. We do that next. Gian Ursula.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. If you check out our Facebook page right now, you will see a brand new video. It's been there for a little over an hour. And it's about the segment that the guys did yesterday, asking everybody to weigh in. And someone wants to know, what does it mean to say when you say keeping it a buck? TJ wants to know.
Oh, keep it 100. Being 100% with you.
Yeah.
That's all. Keep it a buck.
Staying honest.
100 pennies.
Text us on our Muckleshoot Casino Resort. Text line 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO. How do you feel about this? It is about to get a lot more expensive to camp and boat in our state.
Mm.
So starting next year, The State Parks and Recreation Department is going to propose rate changes with fees for basic campsites going from $32 to $37, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it keeps going up. And rates for popular campsites like Lake Chelan and Deception Pass could go up even more. They're even thinking about doing dynamic pricing based on demand. Now, you're about to go to Lake Chelan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you won't be at a camping site, but your friends will.
Yeah. So it costs money. It costs money.
It's just going to cost more to be outdoors.
Right. Which used to be a cheaper option, right?
Yes.
Because you used to be like, I don't want to go to the hotel, but you come out here, be one with nature, right? It falls in line with my hole in a boat theory that I continue to talk about. Everything is increasing except for our wages, and it falls into that. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it used to cost X amount of money to pitch a tent. Now it costs a lot more. But I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and lie to y'all. You all made fun of me the last time I went camping. I thought I was being prepared. Now you guys tell me I'm overprepared because I brought a suitcase.
So for people.
And linen. Like, what do you say? I don't get it. You're supposed to rough it out. What's rough it out mean? Like, I don't get it.
Okay, can you remind us, where did you go? Where were you? Because I just.
Lake Cochise out there? Kind of close to Cleellum?
Okay, beautiful spot.
Yeah.
We have the most incredible spots to go camping.
Yeah, but y'all made fun of me.
I'm the last person to be making fun of camping because my kids used to complain that I would never take them camping.
Mm-hmm.
That they were always like, oh, mom has to go to a resort. They weren't fancy resorts, but I just like to have electrical outlets. I like to have a bed.
A bathroom where a fly doesn't, like, you know, buzz up your bottom.
I mean, exactly. Like, it's 2024. Why do we have to do that? And why is that cool?
Because you become one with nature.
I can do I go on a walk. So if I go on a walk, I'm being serious. If I'm staying in a hotel, which, by the way, I'm going to be in an Airbnb out in Chelan, and when Lily and I, we go out for a walk or we go and meet our friends, aren't we being one with nature?
No, but it's when you want to. The person who could best answer this really is Chef, because you're the only one amongst us.
He's literally wearing a camping shirt right now.
Kind of.
Griswold.
Look, I guess you could say some people go camping to be one with nature. For me, it's about spending intentional time in nature and with people that you care about. There's something about the pace of camping where you have to prepare all your own food. Mm-hmm. Everything is more difficult. It slows your pace of life down. You go to sleep when it is dark. You wake up when it is light. You have no distractions of the phone, the TV, laundry, dishes, etc. And you get nature. It's beautiful. As for this $5 increase, who cares? That's not expensive. If we want to fix camping in Washington State, there's one thing that we should do, because a lot of people swoop up all the reservations in January or February because they don't know which weekends they're going to go, because it's only $32, right? Well, okay, I'll book this one, I'll book this one, I'll book this weekend.
Ooh.
And then half the people never show up to their reservations, and those sites get burned, and people can't go camping. You should be banned from camping if you no show without canceling your reservations.
Well, they should just have a limit.
California does this already. If you no show, don't cancel, they won't let you make reservations in the future.
Or can you have a limit as to how many you can reserve?
I don't think that would be fair, because what if you are a family that does go camping, you know, 5 weekends a summer, 6 weekends a summer? And G, one last thing on this. You can avoid the fees entirely. There's no hole in the boat here. There are plenty of places that you can go camping where you have to pay absolutely nothing. Beautiful. Right by a river. The only problem is there's no bathroom, so that's not really an option for me with like little kids. I mean, Matthew can do the hole in the ground thing, but, you know.
That's not an option for G.
Chris from Sumner wins, and Chris from Sumner, I just got to give you your props. It's funny. Everybody laugh along, but he says, but we can camp for free downtown Seattle. Okay, that's just funny, right? It's just funny.
When you have to tell people it's funny, it's probably not that funny.
No, it's funny. No, that was funny. No, I had to put it on there because I don't want anybody to say, well, G said. No, that was funny.
go right ahead.
Yeah, more power to you. Okay, as long as we're talking about summer plans, though, do you know that 50% of Americans plan to take a summer vacation, which that's not surprising. 36% of all Americans or of the Americans who are going to take a summer vacation are planning to put it on credit. Any issue with that?
No. No, because I won't take your thunder. Why don't you have an issue? You go ahead, give it to us.
Well, no day is promised. And as long as you don't bankrupt yourself, I'm going to say do your vacations now. I am all about do it now, because if you say you wait until you can pay all of it in cash, you know, and that's 5 years down the road, you may not have that ability to do it anymore. So I say go for it. You know, try to pay it off as quickly as you can, but do it now.
I wanted you to say it. That was good stuff. By the way, Chef is a real expert. Like, Chef, you're an expert on the camping stuff. Like, that's your wheelhouse, bro. Like, me trying to talk to you about camping is like you trying to talk to me about sports.
And we have the same attitude. We both are like, ah, that's cute, buddy.
So when you went camping, though, the cutest thing was that you did take that suitcase with the, you know, rolling wheels.
Yeah.
And it was like bumpity bump, bumpity bump on your way to the
tent. Leave the man alone.
You know, I just want to say that what was crazy about that, when I showed you all that, I had no idea what you guys would say. I thought you guys were going to be like, oh, good, G, you're prepared.
And then I look at the setup sheets. For the sheets. It's like 1,000 thread count.
I thought everybody would be excited about me being prepared to camp, bro.
It's an unusual sight, I would think.
All right. We're going to do scenarios next. It's G and Ursula.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWAY.
I got it. You know what, Ursula? We are so blessed. Like,
really are.
You listeners that text in, some of you guys are getting crazy funny. And Doug in Mount Vernon, we'll read yours at the end. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And we'll read Dave in Snohomish Counties. He's hoping that people could read our text line, because he's telling everybody not to listen to us about what we said in that last segment. So, Dave, we see you, and we will respond to you.
See, that's the key.
At the end of the
Imagine
show.
Imagine having in real time, live, where all of our listeners can see what they're saying to each other. That's how you really
Because we have
it.
To remember that the text line is only a fraction of our listeners.
Well, Miss Shirley be texting in, and Miss Shirley, 86 years old. That's
Love
right.
That. Hi,
Miss Shirley. Miss Shirley, you ain't texting me in a minute. All right, scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Growing up, there was tension between my parents and I. I left our small town and never looked back. Oh, this sounds like a Hallmark movie. Anyway, I was determined to make something of myself, and things started great. I had a high GPA and a plan to attend medical school, and I even met a guy who seemed to care about me. But as I started to feel like I had it all together, everything fell apart. My 15-year-old cousin gave birth to a baby and couldn't take care of him on her own. Of course, I was the first person she turned to for help. We've always been close, and I couldn't say no. But it wasn't long before things got messy. My aunt and uncle were furious that I was taking on the responsibility for their daughter's child. They weren't willing to help, but had no problem criticizing my decision to help. And then there were my parents. They always had something to say about my choices, and the situation was no different. They accused me of being irresponsible and interfering in something that wasn't my business. As if that weren't enough, my boyfriend couldn't handle the pressure either. He told me that he didn't sign up for this, and it was too much for him. Now it feels like all I'm doing right now is being alone. My cousin and her baby depend on me, but I don't know how long I can keep this up. I don't want to abandon them, but I know and don't know what else to do. Help me sort this out. 888-973-5476 is the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Ursula, you're up to bat first.
First of all, I commend her big heart for stepping in a situation where it seems like no one else was willing to help. That said, it shouldn't come at the cost of losing everything else that she has worked so hard for. So I would look to help the cousin to the point where she can go on her own so that this woman can continue to pursue her dreams. It sounds like she has a very complex relationship with her family. Kind of lame that the boyfriend is also giving up, but just based on that little bit that I'm hearing right now, it sounds like people are thinking that she's self-sabotaging as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people are on the brink of success and then they find a reason to back out of it. And in this case, you know, she jumped in. It's a worthy cause. But again, it shouldn't be enough to disrupt everything that she has worked so hard for.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that crazy? I mean, people do this all the time for their parents, right? Hey, I was going to grad school. Mom got sick. I had to drop out to take care of her. The fact that this is your cousin's child doesn't change the fact that this is a human being. In fact, a brand new human being in critical years of its life. So if you want to step in to do that, good on you. That's a huge burden to take on, but how could I ever judge someone for deciding to do that? For your parents, they have told you right now exactly how much care you should give them when they need help. And the same with your aunt and uncle. Because if they think that this is a terrible thing for you to do, and they have criticism for you for doing this, go ahead and brush them off when it's their turn. But I agree with you on the self-sabotage, because some of us have, like, these hero fantasies, like this, you know, strike of lightning will hit my life and everything will change. Mm-hmm. And I'll be forced to deal with this crisis. Mm-hmm. And I'll find this new peace and security in my new life, just like your Hallmark movie, G.
Mm. Yeah, I think that it's so commendable that she's helping with this brand new baby. Yeah. But again, it cannot be like at the expense now of her giving up everything that she's worked so hard for.
Last week, I shared with you an event I did with an organization talking about our foster care system. Mm-hmm. And talking about how less and less people today are, if you will, volunteering for that or trying to get into that because they themselves are having a hard time keeping up with. We talk about the cost of living and inflation while wages aren't keeping up. Also a dynamic in that is this is 2024. How families go about things in 2024 are different than 1964. And what I mean by that is there was a time where families like, yo, this is us. We gotta take care of things. And now it's more like, oh, yeah, you ain't got time. Yeah, you know, go ahead, call on the state for help for that. And so more and more of that, less families today are helping out than before. And there's all different reasons as to why, because they themselves are trying to keep their head above water and whatever. But there's this fact, right? They're helping out less. So this is a sticky situation. It is unfortunate that you have one family member, not even the mom or the dad, want to support their daughter, but you have a family member that whose heart is so big that they're like, hey, I'm going to stay here and help. And even though at the expense of losing their boyfriend. So there's that. Nick?
Well, I get the situation's messy, but anyone with a heart should think of immediate help and give the hand for the child. I think it just makes them look bad for not doing anything, even if it's not technically their responsibility. Let's forget the logistics and just help out. I think in the long run, it's going to make them look really bad if they don't help out, even if it's not their fault.
Yeah. Families, man, you know, you have those situations where they don't have the support that they always. But remember back in the day, Ursula, there was always that I don't know if you guys know that, like, that one grandmama that already raised her kids, but then now she's raising the grandkids, and everybody stays at their house, and their house is always full of, like, 8-9 kids on the weekends. Or maybe that was just my family. Because my mama Scott, you know, she had 9 kids herself, right? And then she always had little kids for some reason. Weird. She never got a break up until she passed away. That's how it used to be. All right. Agree to disagree comes up next. Gina, we'll be a bad